You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello. How are you doing? My name is Liz. That's JD, and this is RBLR Sun. JD, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm a little bit tired. I feel like I still have heat exhaustion from Saturday.
I feel that.
It just knocked me on my butt. Me and Tia did not do anything for the rest of the day. We were planning on going out that night. Didn't. So, yeah, I'm tired, but I'm good. I feel good. It's a match week, to both of our surprise, when we we're writing the podcast. You're like, oh yeah, we play a game on Friday again.
Oh, that's right. I keep, because I'm so focused on the next home game that I'm like, no, we don't have a game until the 18th.
Well, and the team has promoted the home game. I mean, the team isn't going to promote an away game in terms of selling tickets, obviously. But like, the team has posted like multiple times about this upcoming game, because there's a lot of things going on with it, the home game, that it's like, oh yeah, we do play a whole nother game before it. And it's a weird cadence because it's a Friday, not a Saturday, and then a Wednesday, not a Saturday. So it's like just a weird cadence there, but we're good. How are you doing, Liz?
I'm okay. I actually ran some errands afterwards on Saturday, but then Sunday I did one thing and then promptly slept for 4 hours.
Yeah. Oh, and the time changed too. So that also.
It was all kinds of messed up.
Yeah.
I got burnt. You can't really tell. Well, you could actually. Yeah, you can. Yes, I got very burnt.
I'm a little red. You can see a little bit of a difference there. So. Yeah, a little unexpected. I think it was a record hottest temperature on March 7th or 8th or whatever it was. It was like the hottest it's ever been on that calendar date in Tampa. So
of course.
It would be when we have to be outside. The one time we ever go outside during the day.
Tia's never going to come to another one again because she'd be like, no, it's too hot.
Yeah. Well, the team did listen and they did move the home games back a little bit. So now we're back into the time of the year where the sun is still going to be going down. No. Yeah, it's brighter later. Yeah, so the sun will still be out a little bit more during the games, at the beginning of the games now. But, yeah.
And to be fair, this next match does not conflict with a Rowdies game.
True. And don't ask me what day of the week it's on. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Don't worry about it. Not
speaking of everything being fine, everything's fine. Jordan Fusco. Great player, former Tampa Bay Sun player.
I didn't even get her signature on the dang flag.
We were
not my fault.
We've been talking about
only thinking about this like that day.
Yeah, well, she was supposed to be here for a while. We are talking about Saturday. To clue everybody in, if you do not know, the Sun played a scrimmage against USF. We'll get into the details later. We were both there. It was a season ticket invite event. It was fun to go to. And we noticed while the game was going on that Jordan was not playing in the game, even though many players were. There were a lot of subs, academy players, even players who are not officially with the team in any capacity were there. Well, they're probably officially with the team. They're just not announced publicly with the team. But either way, Jordan was not there. And then 2 days later, yesterday, we got the news drop that she was recalled back to the San Diego Wave. She was signed there, has a contract through 2027. So she is a Wave player that was on loan. But the loan terms were that she was going to be here through the entire spring season of the USL Super League. They didn't want her in the camp for preseason. And then all of a sudden, right before the season starts, apparently they need her. I don't know. She was pretty great with us. Definitely enjoyed her, midfield attacking prowess. She scored 2 goals in her 4 appearances. So she will be missed statistically, not just emotionally. But it seems like they need to add depth to their midfield over on the Wave. So they were thinking, let's just get Jordan playing on a team and then we will call her back right before the season starts. I don't know if they had any injuries. I tried to vaguely look into it. I'm not super plugged into West Coast soccer teams, rosters, and injury lists. So if there's an injury and she was called back to fill a spot, that makes sense. Otherwise, it kind of sucks that they were like, yeah, you can have her for the whole spring. And then in the middle of the spring, barely into the spring, they decided to take her back. On the Wave side of things, she will be available for their home opener. So they wanted her available. I assume she will at least be on the bench. Maybe not starting. She wasn't in preseason with them. She's only been with them for a week now. So we don't know how that'll go. I will be vaguely paying attention because once you're a Sun player, I care about you a little bit more than any other player. And once you're a Fort Lauderdale player, I care less about you than any other player. And those are basically my two rules. So, but yes, and completely unrelated, I saw a woman at the mall yesterday. She was wearing a Wave hoodie. And against my better judgment, I still complimented her. And she seemed to not know what I was talking about. So take that for what it is. Jordan Fusco has been recalled, and the lady at the mall doesn't know who the Wave are, even though she's wearing the hoodie. That's all I have to say on the matter. I don't know.
How do you not know what you're wearing?
I don't think maybe she was just caught off guard, but I was just like, oh, I like your hoodie. And then I was like, I'm wearing a Sun shirt. That's our local women's professional soccer team.
Yeah.
And she was just, no, she no-sold me, to use a wrestling term. She gave me no reaction, positive or negative. She was like, oh. And then she kept shopping. So, you know, maybe I have an op out there at Countryside Mall.
Yeah, okay.
But Liz, with outgoings, we sometimes have incomings. So who do we have on that front?
So we just signed Macy Tucker to an academy contract. She was the 2024 Georgia All-State 7A Player of the Year. Whatever that means. It means she was really good at something. Or, somebody, you know, picked good her at soccer in that specific area. That's what I mean.
Somebody picked her for a list. I don't know what the list entails. That's fine.
She was invited to the 2025 NWSL Youth Combine. Great place for us to scout, of course. Quote from the article, or press release, excuse me, was she is currently completing her high school studies. Macy has committed to continue her career at the collegiate level at UCLA, where she will compete at the Division I level in the Big Ten Conference. So one good player for us to invest in the beginning and be like, hey, we're going to train you a little bit. You go to college and then come back to us.
Come back to us. Yeah, and the article was that she's with the Sun full time, essentially. So training regularly, whatever she's finishing for her high school career, obviously getting credits done or whatever. But she is presumably over the summer also going to be training as our season ends. And she seems like a cool player. Seems like she getting committing to UCLA and playing in Big Ten is not easy to do for most players. So she's definitely one to watch for the future. The Sun has definitely been tapping into one to watch for the future market. I feel like I say it every episode about every Sun player that we've signed recently. And Macy is another one to add to the list. If she gets game minutes, I'm not sure that's in the cards, but absolutely it's nice to have depth. And for her career, it's nice to have her with the team. So we'll see how that goes.
You know where she did get minutes? That's scrimmage. We saw a myriad of players. I think almost everyone got in on that match who is healthy and able to play, obviously. Like in the second half alone, we had Macy came on, Sienna Bryan came on, McKenna Batilla came on. We had Brooke Denizik come on, who has apparently been training with like our practice squad for like a year now. I don't know what's in the cards for her, but I love that she's hanging around. I've heard nothing but good things and nothing but like, oh, she's just the best to have around. She's got a great attitude. So I loved it. I'm glad I got her to sign the Heat Wave flag, especially because she's an OG.
We kind of caught an audible on getting the flag signed. We really just brought it for the vibes.
Yeah.
It was,
but I think, and everyone really liked the pink of the Heat Wave flag too. They were like, oh, I like the pink. And I was like,
yeah. But pink is an under
tertiary color.
I think because it's like the girly color, it's been underutilized. Because like the only time the Sun officially used pink was for breast cancer awareness, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like, I feel like teams don't want to use it. And then, and so now nobody in the league uses it. And it's like, it is a good color. It is a fun color. So,
yeah.
Yes, I can confirm now that I've been there, the Sun training facility is real. It's a real fenced-in field. And also, I didn't put this in the notes, notably, it's a great spot for a photo shoot if you're the league and you're signing 9 new Gainsbridge ambassadors and you want to do a photo shoot with the players, do it at our training facility, because that post that the league posted with one player from every team was at the Sun training facility. So they were all in town. That might have been Grand Prix related. That might have been around the Grand Prix, to be honest, because I know they're involved in IndyCar too, the Gainbridge people.
I thought the Grand Prix already happened.
It already happened. I'm saying the photos could have been taken if they group of players to the Grand Prix. Yeah, yeah, it could have been. And then they were like, where do we take photos?
Photos taken that far in the past and posted?
Well, this is the league. Is that possible? This is the league doing it. If it was the Sun front office, they'd do the posts and take the photos later. So, but yes, it is a nice little field. They have a lot of equipment out there. It looks like absolutely the type of place a professional soccer team trained. They have thoroughly convinced me it's a real place, and that they didn't temporarily set it up just for me on Saturday. So,
great place to get a sunburn. Also great place to watch the entire team play. It was cool. I really hope we see McKenna Batilla in a game, even if she comes in, like, you know, because we're clearly going to blow out all these games now because we just beat Fort Lauderdale 3-0. Right. So when we're in another 3-0 blowout, we bring McKenna Batilla on and she can make it 4-0 because she's hungry for a goal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really great, obviously playing USF, they're a team that is a bunch of players that are getting an opportunity to play against the pro team. Maybe some of them have not played against one-on-ones against players at this level. Poor 22, I believe it was, on USF's job was Sydney Nocello, and actually she didn't do a bad job, but Sid got them all past her anyways. So, but she did her best and it was a great effort. And also based on what I saw Saturday and not based off of any other data remotely, USF has the greatest offside trap in all of NCAA, because our first four or five genuine looks at goal were all offside in the first half. So we cleaned it up in the second half. We only had a few more, but we still had more. But Coach Brown, USF's Coach Brown, really had them drilled to just keep that back line rigid and up the field. And we kept getting caught out. So I feel like this is actually something we have an issue with, other than against Fort Lauderdale. I think we only had one. Then that's why we scored more goals. But something to keep an eye on if we're still doing it against college teams for fun. Maybe we should analyze it a little bit more and figure out why we're so offside so often.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we were trying to go too hard or something like that. But then,
I mean, there was definitely...
We weren't super physical, which was fine. But I also don't feel like we were as aggressive as we could have been. But yeah. Also, Denise, you know, DSB might have been like, take it down to, like, you know, like 70% or something like that. Don't kill these children.
from what I saw, I think there was a lot more trickery, like individual effort kind of things, a lot more like through balls that were a risk, because we made USF look pretty okay. Like, it looked like a competitive game. It only ended a one goal difference, but that's the pro team is rotating a ton of the players and we're also having fun with it and getting a training in, running around, you know, moving the legs. So all of that is perfectly fun. But I think we were attempting a few more things that maybe we wouldn't go for in competitive game conditions. And I think that might be like why. And I think USF was playing up to a lot of their potential. It felt like they were at 90 or 95%. I saw a lot of driving, energetic, focused players out there on the USF side. And I enjoyed seeing that too, because like I said, it's a great opportunity for them to play one-on-ones against literally a league championship MVP and get beat, but not let her get a great look in. And she missed a few crosses. And I'm sure 22 felt good about that ultimately Sid didn't assist anything past her. So yeah, it was a fun game to go to as a USF alum. As a Tampa Bay Sun ultra mega fan, I just hope both teams had fun.
So as JD said, it did end 1-0 with our lone goal coming from Carly Giamona. I was very happy to see her in the scrimmage, especially since she was out for the last match on injury. Hoping that we see her in this next match up against Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, going into that, we're going to play Carolina on Friday.
To both of our surprise, We will be playing Carolina Ascent at 7 p.m. on Friday on Peacock. Or if you have put together any kind of watch parties, please tell us. There was somebody interested in doing a watch party. If you guys get together for a game, we will try to show up. Let us know. We'll even if it's good and organized, we'll share it. We'll promote it. We'll get other people to come out. Because there really hasn't been too much of that going on this year. So that was just a quick plug if anyone wants to get that together.
Yeah, we had a bar network and then we didn't anymore.
We didn't at the time either, to be fair.
That's fair.
We announced it and it was not real. So we are playing Carolina Ascent and they are a team we need to pass. This has been my tracking, my statistics, the table. Don't count out the Tampa Bay Sun yet. This is the comment that I leave under every single Super League Instagram post. You can check. And this is factored into that. Carolina is the team in somehow fourth place right now. And we need to ask them. My goal for this season is the top three run away with it. Take points off of everyone below them except for us. And then we take points off the rest and we slide into playoffs in fourth and then we win the championship again. Very easily said, harder to be done, starts next Friday away. We're only 8 points off of fourth place, to be fair. That's a crazy thing to say. It was a lot worse against Fort Lauderdale before we got those 3 points in that game. But that's a fact of the matter. 8 points is 3 wins and you cross that threshold. Now, the other teams between us and fourth place will also win games in that time, surely. It won't be as linear as win the next three and we're up there. But I wanted to give everybody an idea of how close it is. We're on 15 points and fourth is on 23 points. It is not a huge gap. It is attainable if we fulfill the very promising looking play that we've had in the past few games. And Fort Lauderdale, DC, et al., fulfill the a little bit worse play they've had in the spring so far, or in a game like this where Carolina isn't one of those worst teams, we can eke out 3 points against them. So that's really what I'm looking out for. We know we have to win almost every game this spring season, but games like this against teams that we will most likely have to be passing to get into the playoffs are the really big 3 6-point swings, right? Not letting them get three and us capitalizing off of that. So we do need to improve our goal differential, though. Carolina, I believe, is at +1. We are at -8. I think we have the second worst in the league. So that is something to look out for as well, just in like general context terms going into this next stretch of matches after this international break ends. But more focused in on this matchup, we won our last game against Fort Lauderdale 3-0. Our previous two games were draws. Overall, we're looking a lot better. Our defense has played a lot tighter. We've kept the chances minimal against us, and we've taken a lot more. And against Fort Lauderdale, we definitely capitalized on a lot more. And with that break and being able to shore up any weak spots that we still had, I feel very confident that this new Sun is not done building themselves up and building up energy. So that's looking pretty good for us. But Carolina are no slouches either. Their last game was on the 21st of February against Dallas. And they won that 2-0 after previously having a little bit of a slide. They lost a few in a row. So they also are going for the playoff spots, and they don't want to be giving up games like this against, they look at us, bottom of the table. They're seeing it as an easy target. So they're going to bring their A game to try to get a win at home. That game against Dallas, by the way, was really just a show of two Carolina players, a goal in the 26th by Sydney Streeter, and assisted by Jill Aguilera, and then a goal in the 63rd by Sydney Streeter and assisted by Jill Aguilera. So are there any other players on the team from that scoreline? You cannot tell. It doesn't seem like it. And that was also the same week that our Sydney scored two goals. And I was saying, if your name is Sydney and you play in the Super League, you're going to be scoring two goals. And that was just the fact of the matter that week. But yes, they, like I said, they came off a couple runs of losses. They got their win. They're also trending up. They're also fighting for it. So we're going to have a game on our hands. But we actually, it's kind of surprising with Sydney scoring those two goals in that last game, because overall for the whole season, their team has a number of goal scorers. 9 players total have at least one goal on the team. So that's a really interesting stat that they kind of can bring a number of different players in and have them convert. But you're not seeing a ton of conversions there. You're not seeing them leaning on 3 or 4 players. It's really just kind of Sydney and everybody else helping a little bit. So that's an interesting dynamic that we'll have to keep an eye on. But there's a lot of players to take a look out for. Liz, you want to give us the rundown of that over there?
Yeah. So first up is Riley Basden. She's got the most shots of the entire team at 28, but no assists. So I feel like Carolina is just an oddball when it comes to stats. Like, having 9 players scoring is crazy, in my opinion. Jill Aguilera has the most chances created in the entire league. She also just most recently scored 4 times with Puerto Rico against St. Vincent and the Grenadines on February 27th. And then twice against the U.S. Virgin Islands on March 5th. So that was like a week ago at this point. Sydney Martinez was also in that match with Jill Aguilera. However, only made 1 save, which kind of brings me to wondering who is going to be in that keeper slot for Carolina. Megan McClellan has been their keeper for most matches. Both of the matches we were referencing before, where they were kind of in a 3-game slump, were Megan McClellan. They sub in Sydney Martinez. They win. However, she also only made 1 save that whole match as well. So it looks like defense was doing a lot more in that match. So it's a toss-up who we're going to see. I think it might be Sydney Martinez, because they might be going in and being like, this should be an easier match, theoretically. So hopefully Sydney Martinez's defense is not doing as well as they did against Dallas. Audrey Coleman is a forward. She's got 2 goals and 4 assists. She's 2nd in shots, right behind Riley Basden at 23. Someone to keep an eye on. Like we said, I know 2 goals doesn't sound like a lot, but when you look at how many goals they've scored, and then there's 9 different players who have accumulated all of those, makes a little more sense. Another one I added, just because I thought it was interesting, is Maria Tapia. She has no actual caps for the ascent. However, she was called up for Puerto Rico with Sydney Martinez and Jill Aguilera and scored in the match against the U.S. Virgin Islands. So who knows if that changes something. Maybe she gets on the roster. I just thought that was really cool and sort of odd that she hasn't played a match yet.
Yeah, you would think internationals would be at least on the bench for their home team or for their club team. Our international Sydney Schneider hasn't been starting our recent matches, but if she hasn't been, she's been on the bench and she's in the mix. So it's interesting to hear of an international who's not even making the team regularly that is also scoring on international duty. It's the U.S. Virgin Islands, no offense to them, but like, it is definitely it's definitely a different class of football at international level anyways. So
a new addition that I don't think I've ever done is players not to watch for this match, which is Lily Nabet, because she got a red card in the last match, so she's out, which is good for us, because she was on loan from Angel City, and she was looking really good in that match. Their 2nd yellow was for time wasting.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
I hope she's still stewing right now.
Yeah. So not gonna lie, happy about that.
Yes.
Because she's relatively new. I believe they just signed her on loan from Angel City, like I said, this second half of the season. So we've not played them with Lily Nabet. Our last 2 matches we've only played them once? Really? I feel like FOTMOB is not right. Either way, it was a tie. Surprise, surprise. Hopefully we can pull out a win on this one. I feel like their lineups had to have been, our lineups were also different. That was also like Mia Mercado. Maddie Mercado was there too. I forgot. Maddie Mercado is currently tied with, who was it? Riley Basden for most goals. Maddie Mercado was on the team for 3 months. They picked her up in August, and then she went back to Seattle in like early October.
Dang. And nobody's filled that gap.
Nobody's. Yeah. I mean, I guess Riley Basden is trying, which is surprising because I feel like I don't remember hearing her name that much. And then I went back and checked. And she was on the team last year. So I don't know if they're just remembering to utilize her now.
Yeah. Yeah, I well to speak on the schedule for a second, we did play Jacksonville all of the times we need to in the first half of the season. So I think it is likely that there is a team on the other end of that where we haven't played most of our games against them yet. So I would guess they're one of the teams we play three times and we have two still to go, I think.
Okay.
Would be how I think you're right. Cadence would go. Because otherwise then we would have had room for a Jacksonville game on this half of the season, which thankfully we don't need to. Until the final or whatever. Actually, a final against Jacksonville would be very fun to go back-to-back against Florida teams. So that's, if anything, us getting into the playoffs is even more encouraging to be like, oh, we could beat a Florida team. You know, yeah, but they have a definitely not controversial, definitely not a tickets distributed number high attendance. So totally real.
Just being dramatic because it was such a ridiculous that we got a home playoff game.
Yeah, should not have happened.
Yeah. Couple of matches last week. They were two. We had two makeups. So I believe both of them, I think, were due to like snow or weather or pitch conditions, something to that effect. So that's the reason they just these four teams played. We were still technically in an international break. I believe that officially ends like this week. But Brooklyn played DC Power at Brooklyn and lost 2-0. Alyssa Walker got a PK in the 32nd minute, and Loza Abera got a goal in the 63rd. Brooklyn, what are you doing?
Not a great result for the Sun, because we need everyone that's like Brooklyn and DC to be drawing all their games so nobody gets a lot of points.
Another game that doesn't help us was Lexington losing 1-0 to Dallas Trinity. Dallas Trinity coming in with the very, very last minute goal of the 90+3 for Heather Stainbrook, who is also a new addition to Dallas and clearly paying off.
Yeah. Yeah, this one is definitely Lexington is in that top three teams that need to clean out the rest of the league, and the Dallas Trinity are not. And them pulling off a robbery at the last minute is, I mean, I'm sure it was fun for them, but on the table, it does not help our case very much.
No. Wow, that was a quick one.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple other matches coming up this week in the Super League.
Oh, overall. That's right. Matches last week, and then I just was like, that's the end.
Well, that's the thing, is that like it was only earlier today that we remembered we have a match, let alone that we play in a league where other teams play games. But going into this week, we on Thursday, this is actually another makeup game. It was originally scheduled for, I believe, the Friday or Saturday, but DC is just dealing with a very busy stadium and there's all kinds of things going on there, I suppose, and so they moved two of those games during the break were DC games. So they are playing on Thursday, moved up one day. I'm sure that helps a lot. And they're playing against Dallas Trinity. So Dallas Trinity kind of went back to back during this break. And they had like two game weeks when everyone else was chilling, which is kind of funny. And then on the 14th, so the day after our game on Friday, we're the only game on Friday. There is a game, Florida Derby, Fluted versus Sporting Jacksonville at 7:30, and Spokane is going to take on Brooklyn at 9. So those are spread out in a way where you could watch both if you want to on Peacock. And since the Sun don't have a game at the same time, why not indulge yourself? Watch a little women's footy, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, I'd like to watch Sporting Jacks rip Fluted apart.
That would be very nice. Yeah. Only in this context.
Yeah.
Any other context, I hope both teams lose.
Yes, absolutely. But we need Sporting Jacks on top, and we need Fluted right there on the bottom with us.
Yes.
Or, well, on the bottom, and then us.
Yeah. Well, we made a case for it last week. We did, or not last week, last game, a couple weeks ago. We really made a case that we should be off the bottom. We look much better than a bottom of the league team. It's just how far up can we climb by this point? And I think the Carolina game away with this break will tell us a lot about where we're at overall, what our squad's looking like, and what we can do in the future. If we actually have a chance at running this whole playoff gauntlet, we think we might. We'll see.
Now that was quick.
Yes. No, wait, there's another category. No, I'm just kidding.
What? Oh, man.
Yes.
As always, please remember to like, subscribe. We are at RBLR Sports on the YouTube, where you can see our beautiful faces and super cool backgrounds. At RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. We post news throughout the week, so make sure you stay updated, as well as shop RBLRSports.com. Use code HeatWave for 10% off.
Yay.
Eureka's not here in the background like he usually is, but he's going to be so proud of me. He's going to be like, she nailed it. She remembered all three.
Yeah, this is a Super Producer Liz episode. Have we ever officially...
Super Producer Liz!
Yeah, have we ever acknowledged that? Eureka is not here. Also, we could have done whatever. We could have written anything we wanted into the script.
We could have said the F-bomb four times.
I know, he wouldn't have been here to stop us. But the thing is, we're just so dedicated to delivering the most comprehensive Sun news on a weekly basis that we would never mess with that duty, that sacred duty. We would never drink wine immediately before starting recording the episode.
And, no. Tell them the entire drink.
Well, I don't remember what it's called. There's definitely a name that's way better than what it is, but I don't want to say trashy mixed drink, but in Spain, they drink red wine, preferably I don't know if there's well wine, but just terrible, cheap red wine with Coca-Cola. Like full-bodied, not Coke Zero, Coca-Cola. And
talking
so
about bubbly red wine, it just sounds awful.
It's like an evil mimosa.
Ugh.
It's good. It's like soda, but it gets you drunk. It's fine. It's like a very rich, I don't really know how to describe it. I don't drink alcohol very often, but this has been hidden. So can you tell we got our Publix back across the street that I now have a wine bottle in my house all of a sudden?
No, I would expect Tia to have wine. She wanted wine the other day.
Well, it's all connected.
Because now you can just walk and get it. Okay.
Well, also because they mailed us a coupon. So yeah. That's anyways. That's how you end a podcast, by the way.
That's the most interesting way to end a podcast.
The chat that we definitely might have had immediately after we stopped recording, we just had instead of finishing recording.
Yep. All right. That about wraps it up. We love ya, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.